Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are glad that you found your way to this worshiping community. Take a look at your bulletin. There are plenty of announcements regarding worship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to just ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship today as well. This morning we are celebrating the sacrament of communion. Just a reminder, this table is open to all, and so all are welcome to participate with us this morning. We do have a few announcements. My announcement for today is, if you will take a look in your bulletin, you will see some information regarding the Rochester Islamic Center Interfaith Iftar. Iftar means breaking of the fast. Ramadan will soon be starting, and our brothers and sisters at the Islamic Center have invited us to take part in this dinner and event. The event is coming up pretty quick here. It is on May 20th. If you would like to go or just want some more information, please let me know. I will need RSVPs by next Sunday, and you can email me or give me a call and let me know. All right, few other announcements. Tom.
Buenos dias. If you ordered flowers or hanging baskets from the Guatemala Partners Mission, they're going to be here on Tuesday morning. So after 9:30, we should be ready for you to come by and pick them up. If you forgot to order them, I do have a very limited number of extras that we bought, so swing by and see us. Muchas gracias.
Beth. Got you quick.
Once again, I stand in front of you in my fabulous Red Wings outfit. I will be leaving church early again to go and do some fundraising at Red Wings for the Jamaica trip. I'm not loud enough.
Nope. So,
this is in support of 2019. However, for those of you who are anticipating traveling in 2020, you're also welcome to come and talk to me about potentially filling some slots for this summer to get started on your fundraising. That's number one. Number two, junior highs. We are going to Lockport Caves on May 20th. Right after church till about 6:30, so you'll be back in plenty of time to go to the iftar if that's what you would like to do. Cost is $18. We need your RSVP by next weekend because we do have to reserve at the Lockport Caves. Finally, senior highs. If you're going to New York City for the work project this coming August, you are required to donate some of your time at the flea market at the food tent, June 6th. Thank you.
Roy.
As the choir wraps up our calendar year, we've put the summer music sign out up front on the kiosk. Thanks in advance to everyone who will sing, play an instrument, or share their gifts for special music over the course of summer worship. Please go ahead and sign up. If you know that you would like to participate but don't have a particular date in mind yet or are up in the air about something, just let me know that you'd like to be in the mix. And any questions, just come and see me. Thanks again in advance to everyone who will help us out with summer music.
Thank you. Larry.
Good morning. I'm here to put a bug in your ear about our favorite time of the year, the flea market. Now, we still have a lot of booths or spaces, I say, available inside and outside, so you wait until the last minute to grab that spot. I suggest you get your paperwork in faster, okay? If you have a friend you haven't talked to him about or a crafter you know, please let them know. Also, we need volunteers, especially on May 25th. That's a Friday. We need to move the bookcases into the fellowship hall. So we need people. How many people here have pickup trucks or access to pickup trucks? Anybody? Nobody. All right, we need about 8 people to carry these on their backs. But anyways, May 25th, we'll be moving the bookcases. And on June 1st, which again, another Friday, we need to move the picnic tables from out in the back. Again, strong people or pickup trucks, flatbed trailers, something. June 1st is our big setup day. We need to put up the canopy for the dining area for the youth group and so on, and set up where we're going to put the tables. So please let me know if you can help. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Today is, of course, Sunday. It's a beautiful Sunday, and it's also a very special day in the life of our GPC family. Today, we are recognizing the longevity, the dedication, and just gifts of Kay Harder and Vicki Gutile. So at this time, I know Kay is here, and Vicki, if you're out there.
Vicki's here.
Would you please come forward? I didn't trip, Gordon. As many of you, probably all of you know, Kay and Vicki have been in the church office for many, many years. And I was thinking, I should probably go look to see how many years it's actually been for each one of them. But they do so much around here, I was thinking, you know what, I'd have to go ask them where to find out that information. So I don't have the dates, but I know Kay and Vicki sure know when they started here at GBC. And for you kids, I'm sure it was well before you were born. But we want to say thank you for your dedication, for your hard work, for your commitment to all that you do, all that you've done. You've made this a special place to come to worship, a special place to come during the week when you need something, and you've kept this wheel turning forward, and it doesn't squeak all that much. Once in a while, it's a little squeak. So on behalf of the congregation, thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity that we've had to serve both the staff and the congregation at Gates Presbyterian for over 27 years. I started subbing for Moira Stone, I'm sure a lot of you remember her, back in the summer of 1990. She had me come in while she went off to put books into Braille for people, and then all of a sudden Bob calls me and says, "How would you like to work with the Moira and job share?" And I said, "How many days a week?" And she said, "2. And I said, "Okay, I will do that." And so a few months later, Moira goes, "I'm going to retire." And I think she was just hanging around just to see how I would do with the job. And they said, "So you want the job?" I said, "No, not really, but I'll take for full time." I said, "No, but I'll take 3 days." And so then they put out a call, and we got Vicki. And so here I am over 27 and a half years later, because it was summer of 1990 that I started doing stuff in the church office. But I've been blessed to share this job with Vicki all these years. We've been a good team. She picks up some of the stuff that I didn't want to do, and vice versa. Even though I grew up with a grandfather who was a minister, and I was in church offices most all my life, I never really understood what went on in a church office. And over the years, Vicki and I always joked, we really need to have a second hour to let people know what we do in the church office.
Right.
Yeah, right. And so more than just the weekly bulletin and the Harbinger and all the Sunday stuff that we do every week and every month, we also had to turn on and off the heat, work with the preschool, work with the trustees, and building issues that might come up. Catch mice that were running down the hall. I know they had a chipmunk in the worship center. We've had birds in here before. Ducks at the front door the other day, actually. Water issues, water coming down the walls. I could go on and on and on. People coming to the door wanting food, and so on and so on. So I wouldn't have worked anywhere else. I felt that God called me here. But now I'm looking forward to going back to being just a member of Gates Presbyterian.
Just so you know, after worship today, there's a reception in the fellowship hall. And what else are we going to have? A cake. So please come have cake. Would you join me in a moment of prayer as we dedicate today to Kay and Vicki? Dear Lord, thank you for this special day. We are excited about the opportunity to honor Kay and Vicki and celebrate the event of their retirement. We also want to thank you, O Lord, for giving Kay and Vicki the opportunity to share their gifts and many years of dedicated service to GPC. We ask that you would remind Vicki and Kay of warm, happy memories and inspire them with thoughts of future joyful times ahead. We pray that you would continue to bless them as they begin this new life change. May they find new adventures and new joy as they embrace this well-earned retirement for many years to come. We ask that your blessing and guidance be bestowed upon Vicki and Kay, and that all their paths be filled with your best gifts. These things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
And now let us continue our time of worship.
Good morning. Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord is risen indeed. Beloved, let us love one another. We love because God first loved us. Let us worship God.
Now join our voices together in a time of prayer. God, you call us to a ministry of love because you are love. When we say, I love God, but our actions reflect indifference toward our neighbor, we lie to ourselves and to you. We confess our complicity in nurturing the status quo through silence and inaction. Empower our boldness to love as you love. God abides in you. God is breathing, living, forgiving, restoring you in this moment and in the days to come. This is the good news for us. As God is in us, so we can live, work, care for others, so that love, hope, and joy might touch all people. Thanks be to God. We are forgiven. Amen. At this time, the children are welcome to come forward. Good morning, my friends. Good morning. Let's see. I'll sit on the pew. I'm like,
comfortable.
Yeah, okay. You guys want to turn this way? There we go. So good morning. I'd like to introduce, do you want to go by Barb or Mrs. Snape?
Barb.
This is Barb. I bet you've seen Barb around quite a bit. And she's going to share our children's time with us today.
guys know what a deacon is or what they do? No one? Besides the cookies and the punch and the coffee? Anything else? Good cookies. No. Oh. Oh, for communion? No, we don't do that. We help with anyone that can't come to church. We have, anyone that can't come to church, especially our homebound people. If your grandparents were had surgery and they were home, we have a great deacon committee that helps out with bringing meals to them. We also have we also send cards to people that are also homebound and can't come to church to make them feel connected to our church. Is there anything that you guys can think of that you could do? Maybe your teachers could help you make cards. And if you find me, you could give me a card and we can send that because we have all their addresses. Let's see, what else do we do? Well, we visit the nursing homes if that's where they live. In the deacons, people sign up to go visit people in the nursing homes. And I know I have a couple of people, so I've gone to visit them and help them with their meals, if they're especially during the eating time. What else? There's a lot of things that we do. I mean, we also have a memorial team. So if someone in your family has passed away, we set up a memorial service for them. But we're always looking for ideas about how our punch is. I mean, in the summertime, I'm going to try to bring some rainbow sherbet ice cream and have special punch, maybe in June, July, and August. I bet you guys like the punch, that kind of punch with the ice cream, because it's nice and cool and tasty. Instead of, you love that? Yay! We want to make you guys happy. Okay, so would you join me in a prayer? Thank you, God, for the deacons as they provide support to people in our church that need to know we can help them and to let them know they are special. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have fun today. All right. You guys staying here? No? Good? Need some help up? Need a hand? No? Got it? All right.
Our first reading is John 15, verses 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
Our second reading of the word today comes from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. And by this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because God has given us God's Spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son, and so the Savior, as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have the boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from God is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. A friend of mine serves as a college chaplain here in Rochester, one of the local universities, and she recently asked her students to write down their answer to the following question: what are the most important things to you about a church, either on campus or off? Now, this wasn't a fancy survey, but she found the frequency of certain responses worth noting. That almost three-quarters of the students included in their answer the opportunity to participate in local service or mission projects. Nearly two-thirds wanted the opportunity to learn and to think, to question, and discuss their faith. And the majority of the responses overwhelmingly named community in combination with the word love. And everyone who included love as a response listed it as the very first thing that they wrote down. Now, these answers are pretty much in line with some of the more comprehensive studies that have been done. Despite some of the common misconceptions that what people are looking for in a church has to do with contemporary music, large crowds, specific theological or political leanings, or fancy well-known preachers, what most people are looking for when they are searching for a church is simple. Love. It sounds simple enough, but for those who have been around churches our entire lives, we know that it is a bit more complicated, and it does not go unnoticed by college students or even our youngest worshipers that sometimes love can be tough to find and perhaps even more challenging to live into. So friends, we are on our fourth Sunday working through now this first letter of John, or the community of the beloved disciple, as one late scholar called it. And beloved is in fact how the verses start out this morning here in this fourth chapter. But I want us to remember the context of the community that this letter was addressed. Remember this early group of followers of Jesus and this gospel. They were struggling. Some of the faithful were sounding a little too sure of themselves, and others were confused that words and ideas, these things they said they believed, but they weren't quite able to hold it together when it came to living these practices out. And some members even were so divided about this that they got mad and they huffed off and left. Now also, keep in mind that if the author of this letter had to go to the trouble of reminding the community that those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers and sisters are liars, love might have been a little hard to come by. 29 times in the space of 15 verses, it was not your imagination, the author had to use the word love in one way or another. That's a lot. I can only imagine if they had this much trouble mustering up love for their brothers and sisters that they have seen within the church. I can't imagine how they were doing with those whom they did not know, or anyone who was walking in for the first time. It must not have occurred to them to even fake love for the sake of membership retention. Not that churches ever do that. Cue the eye roll in case you aren't sitting near enough to see mine. But snarkiness aside, those are sadly sometimes the waters we are swimming in the world today, when it comes to what it means to love, individually and as church communities. Love that becomes conditional. Love that demands adequate responses to our investment. Love that values agreement and securities, sureties, warranties, and even contracts. Love that comes with a guarantee and an assuredness that it will work out best for me. But I suspect our cultural and religious and very human tendencies to this sort of transactional love comes from those times where we just haven't felt where our love has been rejected or somehow put out on the table as an item for discussion, setting down the parameters of what love should be or could be. Love that works best for us helps us to mitigate a bit of the fear of failure and pain and suffering. Except our author reminds us that there is no fear in love. That there isn't any room for fear in love that comes from God. With such stunning brevity, the author of 1 John tells us with this power and simplicity that God is love. John could have said that God is order, God is goodness. One commentator notes that in our insecurity and longing for protection, we often yearn for a God who can control nature, prevent sickness and violence, a God who will protect us from all harm. In a world of moral confusion, we wish for a God who lays down the law with complete clarity, holds everyone accountable, catching cheaters, rewarding the faithful. And in our hunger to possess, we might even imagine a God of prosperity, one who promises to make us rich if we just obey a few principles. And whatever may be true about God's power or omnipotence or generosity, John avoids all these descriptors in favor of love, being at the heart of the truth of God. How does the author or we even know this? Not by imagining or philosophizing or even sermonizing, but by looking. God has acted in love over and over again. God created in love, redeemed in love, promised always to be God in love. And from everlasting to everlasting and generation to generation, God promised anew to love God's people. And as Christians, we believe that God chose to send God's very being of love into the flesh of a tiny human baby who would go on to show what God's love looked like and acted like, lived like. We cannot see God, John tells us, but we can see what God has done in Jesus Christ. So the author invokes in this letter these fresh memories of a community who perhaps remembers for themselves or from the stories told to them only a few years removed as eyewitnesses to the drama of the divine love in Jesus. Some in the community may have been transformed themselves by acts of love, demonstrated meals of welcome, acts of healing, and gifts of grace. Some in the community may have stood for themselves at the foot of the cross and watched the suffering of outstretched love. Some in this community may have prepared the body for burial, seeing firsthand the wounds caused by sin and met with love. Some in the community may have doubted only to have doubts transformed by the presence of a love that cannot ever die. All things begin in this love, flow from this love, and are perfected through this love to return completely and wholly to this love. Which why is it isn't enough to write or read this beautiful letter of love if we aren't living it out in this world today. For to know God in the fullest and most authentic sense is not an abstraction or a concept or even a religious ritual. It's not enough just to remember Jesus' self-sacrifice, to think about it, or even in our hearts to be moved by it. We must live it. God's love must flow through us as individuals and as a church community. And I know it's easy to get caught up in all the ways that we do this imperfectly, or think that love can only make a difference in the world when love is some major formalized production or it has the right kind of feel to it. that love and Christian community comes from even knowing the right answers to theological questions, giving the right amount of money, or achieving a goal to some self-improvement project. No. We learn from this letter today that people are looking for most in a church community is love. And as we continue this season of Eastertide until Pentecost in a few weeks, we remember that love came down and died for us. It is in this season that we remember that as messy and as complicated and imperfect as our love may be for one another, God's love is stronger even than death. And this is who we are, because God first loved us. May it be so now and always. Amen.
The one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel, for whatever reasons you are here this day, come to this feast. Whatever your condition, whatever your brokenness and hurts you bear, know that it is our host who teaches, the one who heals, and is the one who welcomes. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. According to the Gospel of Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and he blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to them. Eyes were opened and they recognized him. May the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Abiding God, you planted the vineyard of creation, called your chosen people to be your vine, rooted and grounded in you. In Jesus, you have given us the true vine, turning earth into grapes and the water of life into the wine of eternal life. Through your Son, you abide in us and in the power of your Holy Spirit. You shape the branches of the vine to make fruit that will last, and in this meal of creation, of resurrection, and of everlasting life, you pour out the cup of your abundance to give us eternal joy in you. And so we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope. Holy, 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 God our Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our life. You turn word into flesh, and your perfect love casts out fear. You sent Jesus to show us a way to love you. Teaching us about your love, he filled the hungry, comforted those who mourn, and welcomed all those on the margins of this world to his table, refusing to let persecution, sin, and death have the final word. He went to the grave. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
Send now your Holy Spirit upon the bread and cup, simple gifts from creation which grace us with your life and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. And welcomed without question at your table of grace, O God, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ's glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit in your holy people, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen. And indeed, we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends together around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people like each and every one of us and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. This in remembrance of me." Knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread and he poured it. So that we might remember its sight and its sound, and he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't know how to ask for, faith that will surprise you, faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink this, do so in remembrance of me." When we break bread and we drink this cup, we give thanks for the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promises of new life, and for faith to hope love anew. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. Jesus said that I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never thirst. taste the goodness of God's grace. Said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. With God, we can do everything. God's love is good. Taste its goodness.
Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to be bearers of love wherever we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
The community gathered. bring all of who we are and all of our lives, and we bring our prayers of joy and concern, trusting that those prayers reach the heart of God and are held by this community. If you have a prayer you'd like to share, raise your hand and usher will bring a microphone to you. Let us know who you are and how we can be in prayer for you this day.
Christine Cook, I'd like to ask for some prayers for my mother-in-law, Tina Richardson. She's back in the hospital. They're trying to figure out kidney function, iron levels, and she's trying to struggle with learning that her diet plays a lot in how her health is. So just prayers for her as she goes through this. Thank you.
Prayers for your mother-in-law.
Debbie DeCero, prayers would be appreciated for my Aunt Margaret, who tomorrow is going to have a biopsy on a tumor that is near her liver. I don't know what the procedure is after they find out what's wrong, but hopefully it's non-cancerous, so prayers for that. Thank you.
Prayers for your aunt. Any other prayers this
morning? Yes, I'd like to thank all of you who prayed and thought of us in the death of Walt's sister Judy, and thanks be to God that she's now resting in peace.
Continued prayers with you and Walt in the death of Walt's sister.
Rebecca Jarvis, I'm asking prayers for my daughter Lauren, who's having surgery next week.
Prayers for Lauren, definitely. I see one over here.
Well, first of all, I'd like to give thanks for Kay and Vicki for putting up with me all these years. They've done a great job. I ask for continued prayers for Peter Derry and Irene. Peter seems to be getting better, and hopefully we'll be going out with him tonight and getting him out of the house, so that's a good sign. And prayers for John Walker, still recovering from his hip replacement. He's now in the Hurlbut Funeral Home. Or not, I'm sorry. The Hurlbut. The jury will strike that last statement. He's in the Hurlbut Nursing Home. Jeez. Oops.
Anyways, you, Tom. We got you.
He's doing better, and so just keep him and Hannah in his prayers.
He's improved.
Thank you, Tom.
Hi, Kathy Coons. Tough to follow, Tom. Prayer of joy. Ed has a birthday this week, a significant birthday, and I don't know who's more surprised that he made it this long, him or me, but he did, so congratulations.
Happy birthday.
Yes, and finally, prayers of joy for Melissa Loser, who will be celebrating her graduation next Saturday.
Good, thank you. Thank you, and you all are invited, and thank you for celebrating today, since I'm going to take the Sunday off next Sunday. That seems appropriate. So, also, prayers of joy and concern from our children. Please hold these in your prayers in the upcoming week. Prayers of joy for a mom's birthday, for play dates. Prayers of joy for time alone without my brother. Prayer of joy for merit for a birthday in July. Prayers of joy for winning a softball game. Prayers of concern for losing a baseball game. Prayers of concern for a dad going into surgery. Prayer of concern for a grandfather who passed away. Prayers of concern that sometimes we don't always get along with our brothers and sisters. Amen. Prayers of concern for broken toys. And prayers of joy for weather that is beautiful enough to play outside. Amen. Prayers of joy for catching toads and birthdays and baseball and grandparents. Let us continue our time in prayer together. Almighty, all-merciful God, through Jesus Christ, you have taught us to love one another, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to even love our enemies. In times of violence and fear, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, so that we may not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Help us, O God, to see each person in the light of the love and grace you have shown us in your Son, Jesus. Put away the nightmares of terror and awaken us to the dawning of your new creation. Establish among us a future where peace reigns, justice is done with mercy, and all are reconciled. And we ask these things in the name of and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us now receive the morning offering.
Victorious Lord, we offer these gifts to be used in celebration of your steadfast love. We give joyfully so others may join our unending common voice of praise. Let all people sing a new song of thanksgiving that is not merely noise, but is a faithful celebration of your love and grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.
goodness, even if we don't know the words to sing, as all right. The great joy is God knows. God knows our hearts are filled with the love that God has shared with each and every one of us. So alleluia, friends. We go to share that love, confident in the redeeming grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the courage that it comes from the Holy Spirit to keep singing again. Alleluia. Amen.